I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for November 7, 2022 to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanson?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mr. McCann?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Ms. Stowe?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall?
Here.
All seven members of City Council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. We welcome you all to our City Council chambers for this meeting. Please join us in our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Lindsay Stowe.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
In additions to the agenda, I would like to add an agenda item 16, fireworks update. I would also like to move agenda item 14A, the Zoning and Annexation Committee meeting held this evening, up in the agenda and make it agenda item 5A. And you have been distributed at your seats, proposed ordinance 98-2022 in regards to that issue. Also, I would like to withdraw agenda item 11. The law director has informed me that the necessary paperwork for this temporary easement has been received, and we no longer need to take this right-of-way acquisition appropriation as a part of our agenda. So 11 is withdrawn. Mr. Frye.
Love you, Mr. Mayor.
Members of City Council. Mrs. Westfall.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to schedule an Employee and Community Relations Committee meeting. We do have an open seat on the Sage Yard Board coming up, and I'd like to set a time when we can schedule interviews and things like that.
Let's make that agenda item 15A.
Thank you.
Any additional items from members of City Council? Hearing none. Mr. Sanford.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schroyer.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Miller.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Or Mrs. Brining?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
With that, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended for this evening's meeting?
So moved.
Second.
And moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and our agenda for this evening is approved. Agenda item 4 is approval of our meeting minutes from our last meeting on October the 17th. Mr. Frye.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move approval of the meeting minutes from the council meeting of October 17th, 2022, as submitted.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve those meeting minutes from October 17th as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and those meeting minutes are approved. With that, I am pleased to recognize Eagle Scout Ian Griffin to speak to us tonight about his Eagle Scout project of improvement at Veterans Memorial Field. Come on up to the podium. Is there a microphone laying on the podium? When you get back to it, pick that up.
Thank you.
Good evening, my name is Ian Griffin from Troop 263. If you turn to the first page, it is the introduction. Basically, my project was the refurbishment of a gazebo built 10 years ago by Greg Hall, who is a fellow scout from Troop 263. It is a memorial built to honor the lives that are lost early of youth in Sylvania. There is a Facebook page. That's the link there if you want to look it up. The next page is a before and after picture of the gazebo. The next page is the outline of what I did on the first day, which consisted of one volunteer arriving early to help me with landscaping. And then once the other volunteers arrived, we started handing out sanding pads for them to sand down the different parts of the gazebo to get it ready, to get it ready for staining. Then we had a scout parent within our troop who was a carpenter came in and removed all the nails that were poking out and replaced them with screws, as well as there was one piece of rotten wood that he put two pieces of wood on the sides of to drill into. After all the landscaping and sanding was done, Greg Hall actually climbed to the top of it and stained the cupola. And then after everything was done, we removed the graffiti from the pavement on the inside. The next page shows different photos from that day. Those ones are the before photos, and then the following pictures are during the actual first day of the project. The second day, it started with us arriving early and laying down plastic under all the benches where we would be staining. And then we removed the plaques that had the names of the individuals that had lost their lives in it. We moved those to the side in our car for safekeeping while we did the project so they wouldn't get damaged. Then, once those were removed and the volunteers started arriving, we handed out buckets with stain in them and brushes for them to stain the benches, the posts, and the different railings. After we finished staining, we removed this one big overgrown bush and replaced it with three smaller bushes, and then mulched the surrounding area. The following page will show different steps within our project, including me removing the plaques, the removing of the bushes, and staining, as well as what the mulch looked like next to the three bushes at the end. During the project, there were a couple complications that we ran into, such as the rotten wood underneath the roof. We also ran into an issue with water and then the graffiti. So when we originally arrived there, we asked one of the neighbors next to the gazebo if we could use their water, and they obliged. But then later on, they asked us if we could disconnect because we were getting in the way of them mowing their lawn, so we disconnected and asked their neighbor if we could, who also obliged. The other issue with the rotten wood was fixed by our volunteer coming in after and putting two pieces of wood next to the rotten wood and drilling into it. And then the final problem with the graffiti was that it wouldn't come off with the power washer, so my mom came in after with graffiti remover and fully got it off the pavement on the inside. That's what the solution says, is just how I fixed all of those problems. And then the following page is pictures of the solutions. next page is followed up by another before and after picture, and I describe like the condition of the gazebo before and after, which was basically it was graffitied on the pavement and on the wood, as well as the stain was starting to chip off. There were nails sticking out, and then insects had put holes into various pieces of the wood. So during my project, I fixed up some landscape, I restained it, I removed the graffiti, I fixed the nails, and we filled in the holes. During this project, there was a lot of helping by different volunteers from my family and from my scout troop, as well as various donations from different companies, and I would just like to thank them all for what they did. The following pictures are who came and helped us on the first day. Then the next photo is who came and helped us on the second day. And then finally, on the last photo is a picture of me with Greg Hall, who created it originally. And it just has a message about how moving forward, I would like for you guys to make sure that it gets the respect that it deserves, as it was graffitied before, and just that it can hopefully stay in good shape throughout time.
It looks very good in the pictures. Looks like I like the stain you used. It's a nice light stain, maybe an oak stain or something, and it came out very nicely. Cedar, even lighter. Okay, looks great.
I have to share with you that Ian came to the Sylvania Rec Board and shared this information with them as well. And so not only did he take the initiative to identify this exceptional project and to do such a nice job, but he's taking it the extra step to make sure that the community is aware of the good work that he's done. So I commend you on those good efforts, and thank you so much for your work.
Thank you for coming in and sharing your information and for the work you did there at Veterans Memorial Field. If council's ready, we'll move on to agenda item 5A, which is agenda item 14A, brought higher in the agenda. This is to begin with a report of the Zoning and Annexation Committee held this evening. Mr. Hanum.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Zoning and Annexation Committee did meet this evening at 6:45. All members of the committee were present. Marcus Hansen, Lindsay Stowell, Mary Westfall, Mark Fry, and Brian McCann were also present. The mayor was present. Staff was present. The property owner and the applicant were also present. The applicant had prepared a revised PD drawing, and we asked Kevin Aller to address the revised drawing, and he did that for the committee, noting the highlights of which are that the development now is has 16 units as opposed to the 18 originally proposed. There's an increased setback to the south. There's a turnaround at the west end of the driveway, which is a private, which is and will remain a private roadway. There's now a fencing on all three sides of the development, with the open end being towards McCord. Going forward, the construction details and fencing will be examined and approved by staff. There were a lot of discussion of the turnaround and how we will deal with school buses, ambulances, and even fire trucks. There's also some discussion of the trees that some of the neighbors wanted to preserve, and some discussion about whether those trees are preservable or worthy of preserving. With that, the committee moved to advance legislation this evening to our regular meeting agenda to consider ordinance number 98-2022. And the meeting adjourned at roughly 7:05.
Thank you. Ordinance 98-2022 has been distributed to all council members. Would you like to consider this ordinance this evening, Mr. Hanum?
Yes, as the committee recommended. So, Mr. Mayor, would thank you, and I will move adoption of ordinance 98-2022. All members of council have received copies. I will read by title only, approving the recommendation of the Municipal Planning Commission to approve petition for zoning ordinance amendment number ZA-2-2022 on the petition of DS Developers LLC on behalf of Ralph Reitz, to change the zoning of 4215 North McCord Road in the city of Sylvania. And I will move adoption of ordinance 98-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance number 98-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 98-2022 is approved and enacted as an emergency measure. Thank you. We'll now get back to our agenda. As published, we're up to agenda item number 6. This has to do with the 2023 budget. A report from the Finance Committee concerning their meeting on this on October 18th. Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Finance Committee meeting met on the morning of October the 18th regarding the 2023 budget. All members of the committee were in attendance, as were Ms. Stow, Mr. Hansen, and Mr. McCann, Mayor Stow, and various members of the administrative staff, including Mr. Sanford, Mr. Schroyer, Ms. Reining, and Mr. Aller, were also in attendance. After some initial opening comments, Mr. Schroyer went through a number of budget highlights. One of the items of note during the presentation was a discussion about court expenses over the last few years, and he noted that that there was a reduction in income coming out of the courts, primarily due to the change in traffic stops due to COVID. In addition, he discussed raises for city employees for 2023, and discussion about the capital improvement budget, which is much larger than what we typically do, with overall expenditures in excess of $13 million, with $6 million of that being supplied by grants for a net expenditure of 7.3. The good news is we have significant funds available that we could transfer from the general fund over to help help meet some of those balances, and we've got substantial funding available in the existing balances. Mr. Schroer also reviewed the general fund departments, and one of the highlights was the community programs. During the discussion about community programs, we indicated that I think Mr. Hanum was the one that suggested that since the chamber was taking on the Memorial Day parade, that their funding would be increased by $4,000 to help defray some of their personnel expenses towards that parade. Mr. Schroyer, when I was reviewing the budget, I didn't notice in the presented packet that that was in there. Is that $4,000 reflected in the budget?
It is in there. It was put into that line item and taken out of another miscellaneous item. So the total is the same that presented, but the additional $4,000 is in there for the chamber.
Left pocket, right pocket. Got it. Okay, great. Thank you. I figured that would be your answer or something like that, but I just wanted to double check. And And Mr. Schreier also indicated some of the income tax transfers. Basically, that was something that he also mentioned. With that, there was a motion to advance the budget to council this evening by Mrs. Westfall. Mr. Hanem seconded that motion, and it carried. A motion adjourned by Mr. Hanem, seconded by Mr. Richardson, and also carried, and the meeting was adjourned at 8:24.
Thank you, Mr. Frye. We do have ordinance 93-2022 in your council packets to approve this 2023 budget. However, the administration is recommending only a first reading this evening so that we can let the record show that the budget is under consideration and give our residents a chance to review and comment on it prior to final passage. So, Mr. Frye, administration requests a first reading only.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce for first reading only ordinance number 93-2022, and I will read by title only. To make appropriations for current expenditures and other expenditures of the City of Sylvania, Ohio for the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2023.
Second. That constitutes our first reading. We will have this on the agenda at our next meeting 2 weeks from tonight for a second and possible final approval of the 2023 budget. Moving on to agenda item 7. This is a roadway safety improvement and traffic signal replacement project on Monroe Street between Haroon Road and Glasgow. Mr. Allard.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At the August 15th meeting, City Council authorized the Service Department to request letters of interest for construction management services for the Haroon and Monroe Street project. We received two proposals from consultants, and Joe and I scored those proposals and selected American Structure Point as the highest qualified firm and project team. We then entered into scope of services of fee negotiations with them and have agreed to the sum of $174,678 to provide construction management services on the project. It is an LPA project, and so the city is managing the project and is responsible for the contract with the construction management firm. And we recommend approval of the contract. This amount was budgeted in the 2022 Capital Improvement Fund as part of the total project expense.
Mr. Allen, you and I discussed this firm, and you told me that there are special requirements from the state of Ohio, credentials that must be present, and this consultant does have those credentials.
That's correct. With any ODOT funding, the construction management services, well, actually any engineering services, you have to be ODOT pre-qualified to be able to provide those services on ODOT funded projects, and this firm is pre-qualified.
All right, we do have in your council packets proposed ordinance 94-2022 to accept this proposal from American Structure Point Incorporated. Mr. Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce by title only ordinance number 94-2022, accepting the proposal of American Structure Point, Inc. to provide construction management services for the Monroe and Haroon Improvement Project, appropriating funds, therefore, in an amount not to exceed $174,678. And I would move passage as an emergency measure.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded for approval and passage of ordinance 94-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 94-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. Continuing to agenda item 8. This is a previously discussed project within the City of Sylvania to convert all of our streetlights from their current mercury vapor or sodium lights to LED streetlights. We have worked with a consultant, Palmer Energy Company, to review this and met with Toledo Edison to do this. Mr. Allen, give us the particulars.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As you indicated, we have reviewed this information in the past with council, and the estimated cost to convert our approximately 1,650 streetlights that we have in the city is estimated at $342,000. Once the lights are replaced, because of the cost savings in the electric use associated with LED lights, our projected annual savings in our electric tariff charges is approximately $77,000 per year. So if you do the math there, that shows that we'd have an estimated payback period of approximately 4.5 years if we proceeded with this project all at once. With Toledo Edison's standard LED street lighting agreement, they do offer three options. One is to replace all of the street lights at once and just do it as one large project. They offer a 60-month or 5-year plan where you basically replace approximately 20% each year over that 5-year period. And then option three is just to replace the street lights as they fail. So when we or a citizen calls Toledo Edison and says 1234 Main Street, street light is out, it needs to be replaced, then they would replace it at that time. As you can imagine, that would take some time to get everything replaced within the city. So we are recommending option one, where we just replace street lights all at once as a project. We have the fund balance available to be able to do that, and then we would start seeing the savings, the annual savings, immediately rather than over time. So that is our recommendation. We will be, this kind of gets things kick-started. After this, we'll have another meeting with Toledo Edison and start detailing what size of lights and things of that nature that we want in some of the residential neighborhoods, and start getting that nailed down a little more. So, but we recommend the agreement and that we start the process in moving forward.
Mr. Allen, to clarify a couple of things, this is the replacement of the entire top of the light, the street lights now. It's not a replacement of the bulb, it is a fixture replacement.
That's correct, yeah.
That's as it should be. I occasionally see pictures with broken or hanging lenses and all that. This is better. What about the condition of some of the poles?
That's something that we'll address with Edison during those meetings, upcoming meetings that we talked about. There may be maybe some of them that we want replaced as part of the project. That will be some give and take with Edison on how that occurs. But we'll certainly, you know, there's no sense in putting a new fixture on a pole that's about ready to break in half. So, yes.
When the roads are salted and snowplow throws the salt up against them, they break through the surface of the paint, and even the rust, they look pretty bad, especially because they're painted at light blue gray. And so I would hope that we can get them painted. We've done that several times over the years. I also might remember that for a while they were painted steamship smoke or something like that, but they're now all back to being blue, I believe.
Yes, most of them.
I think that needs to be part of the project. It's a different crew. I've watched them pay them in the past, but we need to get that done at the same time.
Agreed.
Okay.
Mr. Aller, when we say all at once, is Toledo Edison given any kind of timeline of what that looks like?
No. they do. I know that the city of Toledo, they've been working in the city of Toledo because they made a decision to replace all of theirs, actually add lighting in several areas where they never had it. I know that the city of Perrysburg is moving forward with the same project that we are. So we haven't gotten into those kind of discussions just quite yet on timing. Hopefully in those first, couple meetings that we have with them on trying to to get things a little more fine-tuned. Hopefully, I'll have something I can bring back to you and give you an idea.
Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead.
Okay. Since this is the entire top of the fixture that's being replaced, I would imagine that also includes the lighting unit within the fixture, or is that built into the top?
Everything with the new fixture, everything is on the LED fixtures. Is kind of a, you take everything at the top off and you put the new LED fixture on, is in simple terms, that's how it gets accomplished. Yeah.
You have a much thicker profile than the current fixture.
Yeah. Yep.
You're
down to, yep.
I do.
Yep. With that, I imagine they are also a lot more hardy and complex than our typical LED we put in the ceiling. I'm curious, how long are these estimated to last?
Several years. They are, I think what they're estimating is something like 15 or 20 years on these.
That's what they say, but only one.
Yeah, yeah. So it will last. That's another advantage to going out to LED, is that you don't have that replacement issue that you have with mercury vapor or sodium. So.
How often do we have to replace now, or how long do the ones we currently have go? I'm just curious.
I can't ask that question for the ones all around the city. I know that the ones that we've had in the that we have on Main Street that are actually city lights. I know that I've had to call in the same light twice in my 12 years here. So that 12 years.
Yes. Much different profile. And so one more question is, whenever I see something about it being done all at once versus spreading it out a little bit, I always have the question of, at the end of this time period, if we replace them all at the same time, does that mean that they will likely all fail at the same time? And will we kind of see an across-the-board issue with that? I mean, it seems like with our experience with other LEDs, it seems like there's across-wide failure all at the same time. I'm curious if that's
right.
A factor.
I don't believe it will be. The good thing at the end of the day is if that does occur, that will be Toledo Edison's problem. unless anything changes in the next, 15 or 20 years. But, when these lights do fail, it'll be just like the current program. We'll contact Toledo Edison, provide them an address, and let them know that the light needs to be replaced, and then they come in and change that there. At their schedule. So it won't be anything that the city will have to do. That service, if you will, comes with the tariff charge that we pay on a monthly basis. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Aller, just remind me, if you will, regarding the model choices or fixture choices because of the streetscape design for downtown. What models we're considering, or will we have that flexibility to have what we'd like?
Downtown, we'll continue to own those, I assume.
The lights downtown, the lights along Monroe Street, as a rule of thumb, from Silica Road to Haroon Road, and then the lights along Main Street from 10 Mile Creek to Erie Street, those are owned by the city. We have separate meters for those lighting systems. We pay the electric bill just like you do it on any building. And we operate and maintain those lights. Those lights will continue to be the same lighting fixture and same structure as what we currently have. Correct. Yeah.
These are decorative lights in the downtown. The neighborhood lights are less.
So, which brings me to my next question regarding the neighborhoods. It will be ubiquitous, I assume, through the city for the neighborhoods, the same style of fixture.
We will likely replace them. It's my intent that we can always change this, but it would be my intent to replace them with the most like fixture available. As what currently exists. There are some, I forget the names of the fixtures, but there are some that are glass.
Yes, Glass lantern.
Glass lantern, and that, you know, if that's what the neighborhood has, that's likely what we'll replace it with. There are also some more square-type fixtures at the top. If that's what the neighborhood has, then that's what we would intend to replace it with. So that we're not changing anything as far as the looks is concerned with inside any neighborhood.
And then how about the hue and brightness regarding the neighborhood lighting?
That's one of the things that we have to talk about, because they have, Toledo Edison has a table that says that if it's a 400-watt mercury vapor bulb, that you should replace it with a 150-watt LED bulb, and also gives you the light output from those two fixtures. Most of the time we'll go with those, they're called GE standards. Most of the time we'll go with those GE standards, but in some of the neighborhoods we may not want to do that, because the LED bulb may have a much higher lumen output than what the existing light has. So that's part of what we'll be working with through with Toledo Edison.
Because some of the neighborhoods have a more of a stark lighting than others. I would hope to match what our community would like rather than lighting up the street.
Yes.
Or making it daylight.
Yep.
There might be a difference at intersections versus the rest of the street.
It could be, yes.
Mr. Allen, I have one more question for you,
mm-hmm.
Inspired by Brian next to me. With thinking about the different options of these lighting fixtures, I've seen in different news outlets some of the concerns about having light that goes up into the sky as opposed to being more purposefully cast downward to try to help with, I think the term's light pollution. Is that something that would be considered as you're looking closer at what fixtures would be used for these? Because I'm imagining that the ones that we currently have, they are fairly open both top and bottom, so they probably shine in all directions fairly equally, whether it might be one maybe more efficient with the electricity to have it shine more directly downward.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the looks wouldn't be approved, but I would be curious if that's something we could consider.
Yeah, we'll take a look at that. We actually, with some of our existing streetlights, because of just where they're located, some of them are right outside a bedroom window, and so we have a black plate that we can put on the back side of those so that it doesn't, you don't get as much of the light in that direction, but you get it back out towards the street.
Okay, so making sure we're not kind of wasting light upward when we could use it more.
Just yeah, I don't think, most of our lights are, yeah, sure.
LEDs have a cone, it'll come straight down. There won't be any sideways light pollution or any reflection upwards, because the projection of all the light will be down. So you won't have nearly as much of your concern from the neighborhood windows that way, regarding the emanence of the light from the three-dimensional shape of the bulb as it sits today and most of the coverheads, which is what I think we're to.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
The code.
You got a lot of things on your plate.
Any additional questions for Mr. Aller? If not, we do have proposed ordinance 95-2022 to authorize entering into agreement with Toledo Edison to make these changes all at the same time, which probably means all in the same season, the same calendar year, and hopefully season. Mr. McCann.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to add a question to the Utilities Committee, Mark Marcus and Patrick, if there are any hesitance to proceed with this evening.
Right. None for me. Thank
Not
you.
Not for me either. I'm all for it.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to proceed with introduce ordinance number 95-2022, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to enter into an agreement with Toledo Edison to convert the city's streetlights from mercury and sodium vapor bulbs to LED bulbs, appropriating funds therefore in the amount not to exceed $342,000. I move for passage of ordinance number 95-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second. Has been moved and seconded for passage of ordinance number 95-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 95-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. Thank you, and we'll all look forward to hearing when Toledo Edison might get started on this. Moving on to agenda item 9, Tantalon Plat 1 and Plat 2 resurfacing project. Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This was the project that we proposed as part of our 2022 capital improvement plan, and is a resurfacing of Tantalon Plats 1 and 2. It is a simple mill and fill type project. We'll mill the top 2 inches off and then replace it with new asphalt. So the streets being done are Burwood Drive, Dunhill Drive, Grenlock Drive, Marshwood Drive, Peppermill Drive, Saltwood Court, Shasberry Drive, Fairfield Drive, and Towbridge Court. The total length of the resurfacing that will get done is about 1.2 miles with this project. At the same time that we're in there, we'll take care of the curb ramp improvements and make sure that everything is ADA compliant when we're done. These roadways were last touched in 2003, which we got we'll be getting 20 years out of them, which is a pretty typical resurfacing project. So. The estimated cost of the project is $448,852, and as I indicated, this was part of our 2022 capital improvement plan and will be paid out of our 223 fund, which is our one of our permissive tax funds that we can use for transportation type projects. We asked for permission to authorize for bids, to advertise for bids. And then we'll bring this back to you before the end of the year. So that's included in the 2022 budget. Construction, because of asphalt, obviously won't take place until 2023.
And no, we have included a line item in the 2023 budget for future residential street repaving projects. I believe that's $500,000 each year.
Correct, $500,000.
We went through a really big residential street repaving and reconstruction project back in the 90s and early 2000s. It's time to get back in that marketplace. Streets don't last forever. Okay. Mr. Richardson, are you interested in making a motion to authorize the clerk to advertise?
Sure thing. I move to authorize the administration to advertise for bids for the Tantalon Plat 1 and 2 resurfacing projects.
Second.
I move that seconded to authorize the clerk to advertise for this resurfacing project. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. To the second page of our agenda for tonight, we're up to sewer rates. Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There's been a lot of work done at the wastewater resource recovery facility, more commonly referred to as the wastewater treatment plant. They just made a longer name. And then also we've been doing work on our trunk sewer and continue to do so with another project slated for next year in getting that project with sewer lining completed. Those debt payments that we'll be responsible for the wastewater resource recovery facility are going to increase by approximately $200,000 next year. This year, our operating costs for 2022 were over $500,000 higher than our previous high year. And there are valid reasons for that in the operation of the plant, but our previous high year at the wastewater treatment plant was just over $1 million, about $1,026,000, I think. And we're going to be over $1.5 million this year as our share of operating the wastewater resource recovery facility. We talked about being in the midst of our three-phase project to get sections of our sanitary sewer lined and protected from the corrosion that takes place in there with the hydrogen sulfide. And then we also have two basically original pumping stations, our Monroe Street pumping station, which is behind Burger King on Monroe Street, and then Sylvania Avenue pumping station, which is across from Mayaconda. Both of those stations are about 40 to 50 years old, so they're in need of attention as well. And then, of course, the last year, we've talked about it with vehicles, we've talked about it in normal operating costs. Everything is costing more. Doesn't matter if it's chemicals, equipment, labor, all of that is costing more. Because of those, we are recommending an increase in our sanitary sewer rates, and we are recommending that we take our current rate of $4.55 per 1,000 gallons and increase that by 90 cents per 1,000 gallons, so that the new rate would be $5.45 per 1,000 gallons. This increase, if approved, would increase the average, the monthly sewer bill for the average household in the city. The average residential household in the city of Sylvania uses just over 5,000 gallons of water per month. And so it would increase the average bill by about $4.50. We are looking to have this rate adjustment effective December 25th, so that we would start collecting the new rates on January 25th, each monthly. Each month we bill on the 24th or 25th. So, and I can ask questions if you have any.
The cost of water and sewer has two different prices. This proposes to raise the sewer rate. Is there any proposed increase for the water rate?
Do not anticipate any increase for the water rate at this time. No, I will. I will have the sheet that you have attached to my letter for the sewer. I do have the same thing for the water, and I plan to provide that to everyone. I just initially I had it attached to this, and I didn't want to attach it and confuse the issues because we're looking at just a sewer increase. So. But I do have the information available that will be providing it to you. But I do not, I am not going to be proposing an increase to the water rates.
Mr. Ayler, I have a couple of questions.
Mrs. Westphal.
I feel like you addressed this, but the wording in your letter, I just want to make sure I'm clear. It says, we plan to also begin looking into the need for upgrades to our two major pumping stations. It looks to me like you've got money in there for the upgrades. Am I accurate in that?
Yep.
I was a little confused by that word, or it sounded, or by that wording, it didn't sound quite clear. And also, it seems to me like it's been a while since we've had a raise in our sewer rates. Do you remember when we had the last raise?
We increased the sewer rates 35 cents per 1,000 gallons just last year, but we hadn't raised them in some time. Because we were, if you remember, we had years that where we were considering a new water source, and so we were building up reserves, and so we were concentrating on the water rates and getting funds established so that we would be able to move forward if should that occur. And so because we were having those larger increases on the water side, we were doing our best to keep the sanitary sewer at the current rates, and so we're now at the point where we have to start adjusting those, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, is there any particular reason why the operating costs have increased as much as they have?
A couple big reasons for that increased cost. The previous year, because of weather and the timing of the biosolids, when they needed to remove the biosolids from the plant, they couldn't land apply that. And so it sat there. Some of it sat there. They actually had to landfill a portion, which, you know, I operated that plant for 12 years. You know, that is your last resort to take that material to the landfill. But they just had so much of it that they didn't have a choice. So it was by not being able to get on the fields, they had to landfill a portion of it. And then when they finally were able to get on the fields, they weren't doing just 1 year's worth. They were doing about a year and a half to almost 2 years' worth of material. And so that all got put into last year's budget, or this year's budget, actually. In addition to that, a project that they have going caused some issues with the generator, and they had about a couple $100,000 in repairs cost to each generator that they use on the anaerobic digestion system. And those were cost, that was almost $500,000 in costs that you typically don't have in any given year. So the combination of those two things were the big ticket items. They're facing the same thing. Their chemical costs rose. You know, they're facing all those typical things. But those were the two big things that jumped out.
Should have had you running the plant.
I tell you, biosolids is a very difficult thing. It's becoming more difficult because it is tougher to find fields to put them on. The quantities are lower than they used to be, and your time frame is shorter because of the you can't put it on when it's frozen anymore. So your time frame is very short.
Mr. Allard, do we anticipate any large projects further past 26? Because as Ms. Westfall mentioned, that looks like we have in the budget for the pumping stations. But beyond that, do you foresee any?
I'm not anticipating any larger projects at this time. We'll always have projects. You know, we've done some smaller lining projects that are, you know, in the 300 to 450 range and things of that nature. And as we're out cleaning sewers and cammering sewers, we may find a couple of those. But I'm not anticipating anything like we've had the last couple years with the large lining projects and then with the larger pumping station projects. So I think we're coming to the end of the end of the large expensive projects.
Or the foreseeable.
Correct.
And then the next is, looking at the rate increases possibly requested between now and 2026, is there a, would it make financial sense to average the rate hikes over that four-year period, or are we trying to play catch-up right now to allow for the larger upfront increase?
Yeah, the sanitary sewer fund was, part of the reason for the 35-cent increase last year was the need to build up the reserves in that account. And thanks to the wastewater treatment plant having the highest operating expense year of ever, it took that away. So not only are we not building up the reserves, but we're actually, I think at the end of the year, you know, because these are projections, I just talked with the county today on what our fourth quarter operating cost is actually going to be. I think at the end of the day, I think we're going to be about break even. But because of that, you know, showing the loss here, and we have 3 months left. We don't know what those 3 months are going to bring. Showing the loss here, I think we need to have that jump this year. I realize 90 cents is a pretty large number compared to where we typically are, but I think we need that to make sure that we're stable. And then should we see that's doing the job for us and creating more stability than is anticipated, we won't do those increases if we don't need to. They're just something I'm kind of looking down the road and saying, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's just something, when I put this chart together, we start looking at, you know, what those expenses are going to be in those outlying years, and then how much of an increase would we anticipate to be able to keep building up that reserve fund.
Brian, are you ready to proceed with this tonight?
I wanted to ask the Utilities Committee members if they were comfortable, and have we asked the questions we should to your satisfaction?
I'm comfortable.
Yeah, agreed.
Then, Mr. Mayor, I think we should proceed.
We do have Ordinance 96-2022.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce by title only Ordinance Number 96-2022, amending Chapter 925 of the Sylvania Codified Ordinances by amending Section 925.05, sewer charges levied to increase the sewer charges for both industrial and non-industrial city and non-city users. I move passage of Ordinance Number 96-2022 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for passage of Ordinance Number 96-2022 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Ordinance 96-2022 is enacted as an emergency measure. The only thing I didn't like was Christmas Day, but the increases won't show up until a month later.
It was either the 24th or 25th. I chose 25th because it appears that's when bills will go out. So, yeah. So, but. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council, for all of the items.
There you go.
All right. Agenda item 11 has been withdrawn from the agenda, so we're up to agenda item 12. I have a number of confirmation of appointments by the mayor to bring to you. First is the reappointment of Caroline Lindhuber to the Planning Commission. She was originally added to the Plan Commission to replace you, Mr. McCann, when you were elected to City Council.
Yes.
That was 3 years ago, so she's only served part of a term, and she has expressed her interest in reappointment. I talked to her about it personally a month or two ago, and she's ready to go, and she does a good job. So I have reappointed her and request your confirmation of that reappointment. Well, let's see. I have Mr. Fry doing this one.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll make a motion to confirm the appointment of Mrs. Carolyn Lindhuber to the Municipal Planning Commission
Second.
Seconded to confirm the mayor's reappointment of Carolyn Lindhuber. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 12B is the appointment of two new individuals to the Tree Commission. Sanya Jennings and Helen Michaels, Dr. Helen Michaels, have expressed interest. You'll note that Dr. Michaels is not a resident of Sylvania, but has expressed interest, and we would appreciate her help on the Tree Commission. And the rules are that half or more of the commission must be Sylvania residents. So that's entirely in line. We have an active Tree Commission, and our city forester has requested these two people. So I have appointed them and request your confirmation. This one will go to Mr. Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to make a motion to appoint Ms. Sonia Jennings and Dr. Helen J. Michaels to the Sylvania Tree Commission for terms expiring December 31st, 2025.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to confirm the mayor's appointments of Sonia Jennings and Dr. Helen Michaels to the Tree Commission. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and those appointments are confirmed. The third appointment, or the third category, is a new clerk of council. As you've probably heard, our current clerk, who has done a wonderful job for the city, and is sitting right over here, Sharon Booker, has announced her retirement, and she will be retiring early next year. This is a very important position to the city. There's lots of training that needs to go along with this, and we want to have some overlap as we do in other important positions before Sharon is fully retired. I have reviewed the available employees within the city of Sylvania and thought about bringing in somebody from the outside, but clearly the most qualified person is Laura Bigelow, who has served as the mayor's secretary for more than a decade and is very active in all parts of the city's administration. She does far more than what the mayor's secretary is required to do. She participates in lots of other programs and has done a lot of other work, and she is by far the best appointee for this. So I have appointed her as clerk of council and ask for your confirmation of Laura Bigelow as the clerk of council beginning in January of 2023. Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll make a motion to appoint Ms. Laura Bigelow as clerk of council effective in January 2023.
Second. It's been moved and seconded to confirm the mayor's appointment of Laura Bigelow as clerk of council. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. I've discussed this with Mr. Fry, and I think I'd like to plant a seed in your thought processes about the distribution of council packets going forward. This is a subject that we've talked about maybe 10 or 15 years ago. Mr. Hayden, you may remember this. And that is to not deliver, have the new clerk of council deliver council packets to each of your homes, because it's now quite feasible to send out the entire council packet via email, and I think all of you probably have a home computer or tablet that you can view that on. It will save the printing of the paper, but more than that, it will save the clerk and the mileage and the potential liability of her running around town 24 times or 22 times a year to deliver those. And I want to plant that seed with you. We will still print paper agendas and all the ordinances for whoever wants them. We'll have them available in the clerk's office, or we'll bring them to council chambers so that you can use them during the meeting. But I would like to propose moving us ahead in that direction. TMACOG, about midway through this year, stopped printing agendas altogether. They send them out electronically as they used to, but they no longer even have printed copies at the meetings when I go to them. And that seems to have been working out just fine. I don't think this system would have worked 10 or 15 years ago, because not everybody would have had a home computer or a tablet able to download that and read it in a good way. And at the time, we were proposing as an alternative buying everybody a desktop or a portable computer or tablet to do that. We're not proposing to do that. I just put it out there for your consideration and see how you respond to it. We'll certainly have those packets available. I'll probably still pick one up from the clerk of council so I can go through and mark it up as I do now. And it does help to be able to flip between the agenda and the actual ordinances as they're considered. But how do you feel about that? Any concerns with that? We do not plan on implementing this immediately. We could do it the end of this year or the beginning of next year, but you can get back to me with your comments or your concerns. You don't all have to react the same way. We'll still print them. I'll probably get a printed copy. You may not need to.
I tend to prefer all digital, and I
use as little paper as possible, although I'll probably end up printing just the agenda just for quick reference, but other than that, the whole packet as a digital sounds pretty good to me.
I agree.
So I don't have an issue reviewing everything digitally. It's difficult to transfer that physically to the meeting here. So I don't know. I'd like to have both, I guess.
Well, certainly print them. What I'm really talking about is not delivering it to your home on Friday.
Sure. That's not an issue.
It might even be interesting to start out with letting us review it digitally, but having the hard copies here and then see if we can become comfortable with it. One of the things I try to do is to mark the things that are going on to another meeting so that I pull that out of the packet and carry it forward and I can find it. Right. And that would be my only concern is how do I go back to find the right packet to find, like, the zoning meeting that we had today? I could find information.
I am very old school. I first got on city council in 1986, and I have every council packet that I've ever been issued. Fortunately, I have a large private office, and they're all in there, and I'm going to have to decide what to do with them someday. Mm-hmm. But I go back to hand-type on a typewriter agendas by Clayton Fisher. He would do those each or twice a month and hand deliver them. And he would hand deliver them himself. And if he would request to talk to me about it, even as a new councilman at the time, to make sure there weren't any questions. But they were certainly not as nice as this. If you imagine typing that on a typewriter, that's what he would do. So I've got those, and we'll see if the Heritage Museum wants them when I'm done with them. But as Mrs. Westfall said, I go back in those, and I look back. I don't look back to 1986, but I do go back several years to see what's happened in the past. So we'll have printed copies. I like Mrs. Westfall's recommendation that we'll still print them. We'll have them here. You can pick them up early from the clerk's office if you want. But if that's okay, maybe we'll implement that starting the first meeting in December. See how it works. And if it doesn't work and you still want a few of you want it hand delivered, we'll think about trying to comply with that as well. But it's not necessarily a good use of the clerk's time, and there have been concerns put out by our risk manager, Mr. Schroyer, that that's not good practice to send somebody around in their car, get out of the car, slip on the sidewalk, and throw these up there.
So the plan would be to send PDF pack.
Probably PDF a packet pack that includes all the documents within it. Yes.
In an email form.
In an email form. That's what I mean. I mean, it'll be attachment to an email with PDFs. Got it.
I wouldn't think that would be too big to send to you. If it is, we'll have to send it in two pieces. PDFs aren't that big.
You already do put everything on the website.
Yeah, we already do this that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, hyperlinks might work also, rather than the actual PDF.
We could do that. We have a Dropbox for legal.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, good. With that permission, we'll think about implementing the change starting December 1st. Mrs. Booker, do you object?
I wish it would have been January
1st. You mean this past January?
No, this coming January.
Oh, you want to?
When I'm not going to be here.
Would you like to keep it going through December?
Whatever you guys want.
Okay.
I was thinking that might have persuaded her to stay longer if she didn't have to deliver those packets.
I've been going to meetings since 1987. I'm ready for my Mondays.
Yes, I bet you are. Lucky us.
All right. Thank you for that discussion and for the approval or confirmation of those appointments. Let's move on to agenda item 13, which is a notice of a new liquor permit for Grumpy's in downtown Sylvania. Chief, do we have any issues with this new permit?
No, Mr. Mayor. We've researched the business and the person on it. We have no concerns.
With that, is there a request to have a local hearing? This is a new permit. This is not a transfer, but a new permit of a D1 license and a D3 license.
So, Mr. Mayor, is it my understanding that they are serving beer and wine at this time and are moving to a liquor license, or is this a new altogether license?
I am not sure
what the B1 and B2.
Yeah, I don't have it handy. Oh, there's visuals on that one.
Do you want me to explain?
Yes, please.
The D1 is beer only on the premises consumption or in original sealed containers for carryout only until 1 a.m. And the D3 is the license or liquor for on-premises consumption only until 1 a.m.
So it would in fact be moving to liquor? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Would that mean that they could now also serve the liquor as a part of the Dora cups?
Mm-hmm. If they're in the Dora area.
Yep. Are they shifting their hours? Does anybody know? They're not open until 1 a.m. now, for sure.
For those people that want to drink at lunch, at all?
Or breakfast.
I do like a good brunch mimosa.
You're going to drink all day, you have to start at breakfast.
There you go.
Okay. Did we have that motion?
No, Mr. Mayor, but I'll be happy to make the motion if you...
We're done.
I'll make a motion not to seek a hearing for the new liquor permit for Grumpy's Global Holdings LLC at 5629 Main Street for a D1 and a D3 liquor permit.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded not to request a local hearing for this new D1, D3 license for Grumpy's. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Agenda item 14A has already been taken place up in Agenda 5A. Are there any other committee reports to make at this time? Moving on to item 15, committee referrals. Mrs. Westfall is requested to set a meeting of the Community Relations and Employee Relations Committee. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I mentioned earlier that the Sage Yard seat for the city, one of those seats, is coming open on effective December 31st. And so we are going to advertise for community interest and we'll conduct interviews. I did have the opportunity to speak with Mr. Hanum and Mr. Hansen in December 6th at 5:30. Looked like a good time, but Mr. Richardson, I'm not sure if that works with your schedule.
One second, please. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so Mrs. Booker's gonna advertise in the Savannah Advantage for that. We'll also post it on the website and on Facebook. If any of the members of City Council have anyone they think would be interested or good for this Sage Yard seat, please let us know. And I'll ask if Mrs. Booker would kindly send the public notice directly to you as well so you can see the detail about that seat. I think that this is a really great opportunity to bring in somebody new that has interest in serving in the city. So if you have anybody on your radar, in your neighborhood, or in your natural network, be sure to reach out to them and encourage them to apply. So I think I need a motion actually to set our meeting for, so I move that we have an Employee and Community Relations Committee meeting on Tuesday, December 6th, beginning at 5:30, and we'll meet in the administrative meeting room right off of the City Council chambers. Yeah.
Where? I'm sorry.
In the,
this room over here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what it's called. I called it the administrative. Maybe it's the police.
Chief.
Is it Chief's? Chief, can we use your conference?
What do we call it?
Start the meeting here?
No, we're going to just meet in there because Chief. We conduct these interviews. We're hoping we'll be doing interviews and we'd like them to have the opportunity to meet privately. I mean, that's what we've done in the past with the committee members. December 6th.
If we do know of anyone who might be a good candidate, would you like us to email you?
The information will be in the public notice that you receive a copy of.
All right. Thank you.
But that was a motion to set that meeting.
Second. Okay. It's been moved and seconded to set that meeting. Moved and seconded to set that meeting of Community Relations and Employee Relations Committee for December 6th at 5:30 p.m. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and the clerk is directed to advertise that meeting. Any other committee referrals at this time? That brings us to added agenda item 16, which is a fireworks update from Mr. Sanford. You did receive at your seat tonight a memo from Mr. Sanford, and it was emailed to you earlier as well.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think the last time we talked about the fireworks, we tabled things, and I was asked to work and with Sage to get put out an RFP to get proposals for the fireworks show in 2023. Mike McMahon has moved forward with that, put out the RFP. We have two proposals from two different companies, Pyrotechnico and American Fireworks. We still owe Zambelli the balance for this year's show, and to move this forward, we would need to, or before we would want to pay that last payment, we would want them to release us, because if you remember, we still are under contract with them to do the show in 2023. So I did ask Mr. McMahon if he feels confident in the proposals that we've got from these two companies. There would be a committee meeting that we've had in the past that would choose, and it would probably would be at least 2 years of a contract going forward. So what we'd like to do, and Leslie prepared this release and settlement agreement, and this would be something that we would have the council vote on at the next council meeting, and then once that Zambelli signed it, then we would release the payment. And Leslie, please add anything here I did not correctly.
You're exactly right, Mr. Sanford. The only additional step is I have not sent it to Zambelli to review, so they may have some comments, so it may not be in its exact form when it comes before you in
the
next 2 weeks.
And they have been, I've received a few phone calls from Zambelli just wondering about the payment. I told them that what our process has been, and I'll give them an update after tonight's meeting. Are there any questions? Or?
Are you familiar with these other two fireworks companies?
One, I think Mr. McMahon is with both of them. I remember that Pyrotechnico, I think, was who we had used once before.
Yeah. We have.
Yep.
And American Fireworks, do we know anything about them?
We've got proposals from them in the past, but at least in my memory of being involved with fireworks, we have not utilized them, but I know that we've got proposals in the past for them. And the gentleman who used to be with Zambelli is now American.
Oh.
Is that good or bad?
Yeah.
Well, when that gentleman was with Zambelli, we never had an issue. It's after he left is when we had the issue.
Mr. Sanford, or even Mr. Fry, we had talked about arranging a meeting with Zambelli, and that never occurred.
No, it never occurred. They were not interested and that kind of got us started on the whole thing. And then the other part that they put this change in personnel, they were not aware of the contract, and that's why they were not interested to come in, because they just figured, we're done with each other, and we're not when we have this contract. So we really need to resolve the contract issue so we can move forward. And the township and Sage are both in that position right now. Let's keep this moving forward so we can solidify the show for 2023. But yeah, that was the intent to start out. Okay.
All right. Thanks for the update. We'll be back to you in 2 weeks, perhaps with the necessary ordinance to cancel the contract for the standoff.
Thank you.
We'll not make the payment until they sign that cancellation agreement. Thank you. That brings us to the end of our agenda. There is one informational item that ended up in your council packets. That is the third quarter report for the Division of Vehicle Maintenance. That was not in the previous third quarter report, so you might want to make note of that and get it into your binders. Is there any other business for the city to consider at this time? Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until the next regularly scheduled meeting in 2 weeks on Monday, November the 21st at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for attending.